Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nick's family, we want to welcome you here and thank you also for coming to pay your respects and to honor and to celebrate Peggy's life. And that's what we hope to accomplish in this time that we're together, to honor and celebrate a life well lived in our midst. We'll be casual about it, but we're hoping that you yourself will become involved as we think together about what God's Word has to say and as we share some memories that we have because of sharing some portion of our life with Peggy. I wonder if we could just start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a life very well lived among us. For one very much loved. And we just ask, Lord, that as we gather to honor and to celebrate Peggy's life, that we'll have a sense of your presence in our midst, and that we will receive comfort as we need it, that we will, even as we mourn, be reminded of the hope that is ours because of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray, even now. Amen. Well, I wonder if we might begin with a song, a beautiful song. Notice the lyrics as we sing it. It's in your bulletin, and I trust that you all got bulletins. I saw Jim and Lisa, like the good hosts that they are, making certain that everybody had one. So if you don't have one, there's one on the chair right at the back of the sanctuary. Grab a bulletin. We'll stand, if you will, and we'll sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." Let's do that. We've lost a loved one to this life. Does the Scripture have anything to say about what happens to those who believe in Jesus when they leave this life, when they die? It actually has much to say, and I'd like to share some Scripture passages with you if I could. I'll attempt to read them slow enough so that we can stay together and we can hear the actual words that the Lord Himself, God, has given us in His Word, the Bible. And He's done it through a number of different servants of His. One that we'll be considering a lot is the Apostle Paul. In a letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, his second letter, in fact, chapter 5, we read these words. "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it." Paul pictures our life here in a body that is primitive and temporary, like a tent. He pictures our bodies as clothing that we wear and that in fact does wear out. It gets torn and patched by life's events. And so, he says, we can look forward to that time when we're not in the tent, but rather we've moved into the building, His building, our heavenly home, which is permanent and splendid. He goes on, and in another letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, his first, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read these words. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined, and to each kind of seed, He gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Paul continues this thought in this same letter, a little bit further on in that same chapter, as a matter of fact, chapter 15. And we pick it up with these thoughts. Listen, he says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable and the mortal has come, and the mortal has been replaced with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood this because Paul had a relationship with God, with Jesus. It was very personal, very intimate. It was a relationship that was so intimate, in fact, that Paul at one point even wondered what his preference was, whether to remain here on earth, continuing living, or whether it was to go to heaven and be with God. This is what he said to the Philippians. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul also wrote to another group in another small church in Thessalonica. This is the first letter that he wrote, and we find these words recorded in chapter 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. How is that? How is that possible? If we are sin-ridden, if we're affected by this fallen world in which we live, we're not fit and suitable to spend eternity with God, are we? But God, who loves us all, every one of us, has a plan that makes that possible. And that plan has even been fulfilled when He sent Jesus among us to live a perfect life without sin and then pay the sacrifice required for sin, dying upon the cross to do that. And so we read from the Apostle John these words that are probably so familiar to you because it's the most popular passage apart from Psalm 23 in all of the Scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And so Jesus, even on the eve of His own death, could say this to His disciples. And we can hear it echoing over the ages in our ears this morning as we grieve and mourn. Peggy, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Does that not give us confidence as well as comfort at a time like this? And finally, we read again from the Apostle John these words. It was on the occasion when someone else lost someone very dear to her. These were words that Jesus spoke to Martha, who had lost her brother Lazarus to death. And Jesus said this to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So does the Scripture, does the Bible have much to say about those who pass from this life and have believed in Jesus? Oh, my dear friends, I think it does. Take comfort in what God has told us through His Word, the Scriptures. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing about that which we've just read, which really can be summed up in one marvelous word, one amazing word, grace. Let's sing Amazing Grace, and let's stand to do it again. My dear friends, that same question that Jesus asked Martha, is a question that he asks each of us today when he said that he is the resurrection and the life, and that belief in him means we will never die. That question is, do you believe this? I trust and pray that is the case for each and every person here. We are here to share some memories about Peggy. Those memories may be, in fact, something that was a lesson we learned from watching her life. It might be a humorous occasion that we shared with her and that still brings a smile to our faces even today. Whatever it might be, maybe it's just something that you admired or respected about her and you'd like to share it. Let's take the time to do that. That's what it's all about when we honor and we celebrate someone's life at a time like this. I think that Jim is going to begin, and Jim's going to come forward, and I invite any to come forward and share very simply what you'd like to with regard to Peggy this time.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for those words. Hey, family. I wanted to come up first because some of you may not have heard through the grapevine that we'll have an opportunity like this to just share something about Mom. And so I figured if I went first, to talk so long, okay, it might give you guys time to collect your thoughts and all. No, I promise I won't talk too long. But I did want to come up first because I wanted to give just a little real quick background first and maybe share some thoughts of my own. Mom did not want this. But Dad did. He said that she didn't know who would come. And really what was behind that was she outlived all her peers. Except two. Dad, her best friend, Backbone, and her faithful friend, Helen. I'm so glad to see you here, Helen. Helen Driscoll. But what she didn't realize, what Mom didn't realize, is that her legacy of family would like to celebrate her place and the impact that she's had in our lives. She didn't realize that. So that's why we're doing this, to remember her, to celebrate her, and Dad wanted to do this. Yet she, I'm sure if she was here, you think she might have an opinion on this? Okay. So it's our turn, right? It's our turn to give our opinion. So personally, people say that I'm an encourager. Well, God wove me in the right womb to be nurtured by an amazing encourager. Mom was an encourager, and I am so thankful for that deliberate encouragement she spoke into my entire life till the day she died. Oh, family, we were blessed to have her for so long. Amazing, amazing. And I think we all strive for the approval of our parents, and sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. But I will be forever grateful for that faithful support Mom gave for whatever involved me. She had that incredible gift to make everyone feel significant. I mean, you know, you go out to eat, you know, with Mom and Dad and the waitress and waiter, they would know that we were there, okay? Because she would get into their life one way or another, okay? But most importantly, to tell them they're doing a super job and thank you and is, are we too much trouble? And then some of us got a chance to meet John in the hospital, okay? John was the fellow that brought oxygen to Mom, and he came in the room, and before he even got close to the bed, she was saying that he was her favorite, and he was incredible, and he just the only one that understood her, and you know his whole demeanor changed, you know, as he approached the bed as we're watching. And so I think this is resonating with all of you. But I believe that the greatest gift that I and we can give in her memory is to strive to imitate that gift she gave to us, to this family. She was our glue.
I usually don't need this.
I never have a problem being heard.
But if you this whole thing's being recorded.
Uh-oh.
Not to make you nervous.
Just a couple of things. Margaret was a very special lady, and a mother-in-law that couldn't be beat.
Okay. Somebody else.
90 years. What a life, huh? Think about this. That. What did she see? She saw presidents come and go. She saw times grow and change. She saw her grandchildren grow up right before her eyes. Her brothers, her sisters. She saw all of us. She made quite an impression. She was a spunky, beautiful lady. And she made quite a lot of memories. And I want to stand here today just to tell you of my most special memory that I will never forget. Many of you probably don't know, but I lost my own grandparents quite a long time ago. And I was very close to them. We were out to eat with Nan and Pop, it was a couple of years ago. And we were talking about some of the people that we've met in our lives. And I looked at Nan and I said, you know, I never had that one chance, that last chance to say to my grandparents how much I thought of them. So I looked at her and I said, Nan, I have to tell you and Gramp something. I lost my grandparents a long time ago. And since becoming a part of this family, I feel like I have another set of grandparents. And I mean that now, today, as much as I did then, and I always will. And I thank you all for letting me be a part of her life. Thank you.
Hey, I'm not texting. I put some notes down on my phone. So. Promise. So, first thing is for Pastor Sylvester and Jimmy and Lisa, thanks very much for opening up the church. I know... when we were talking about the services, and I think everybody agreed that it was very important for us to be together as a family, even though Nan is not happy right now. You know, I know that for a fact. I know she's irate. But, you know, if I know Papa wanted this and the family wanted it, I think it's just amazing to all be together. So thank you guys for making this happen. And let me get it happen quick. Caitlin, my daughter, couldn't be here. She has a commitment that was impossible for her to move on Monday. So I just wanted to mention that. She passes her love along. And my brother. He wanted to say that he loves you all. And if he could be here, he would. There's a strict policy that it's only brothers, sisters, and parents when you're deployed. So he's protecting our country and sends his love, and he wanted me to tell you guys it. One thing that I noticed it driving in today, and I also noticed that the day after Nana passed away, that for the first time in, I think, 6 months, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I noticed that immediately, the day Nana passed away, and, you know, the first thing I thought is that it's, you know, that it's God and it's heaven opening up for her. I believe that. Memories of Nana. There's just so many to talk about. I can stay here all day, but the one that really sticks in my head is as a kid. You guys remember she had long, beautiful fingers and amazing nails. And I used to every time I went to see Nana. I'd pull up my shirt, sit down, and she would just go to town. And I would just be sitting there like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And I'd fluctuate between Nana and Puggy. Puggy was blessed with the same.
You know, I'll never forget it. I'll always remember Nana, Papa. I'll never always remember how she looked into his eyes. And how proud he was. And how much he loved you. That's something that I'll always remember. Always remember when he personally in my head. Birthday cards, anniversaries, you never miss them, ever. And, you know, she was, you know, the kid growing up, I always used to look forward to my birthday card with the $10 in it. Consistent, very consistent. But what's interesting is, I think this happened with all the grandkids, is, you know, once we got to a point in our lives where we were, we didn't need the $10 and we were responsible and had jobs and were behaving, you changed it from cash to St. Jude's donation. So, I got my first St. Jude's donation last year on my 48th birthday. But I always remember that. And, you know, I think the St. Jude thing was Nan's way of saying, you're on your own, you're responsible, and someone else needs it. And that was her. You know, that was how she was, and that's how she thought. And, you know, her life was all of us. You know? Yeah, I really believe that. Her life was. With her family, and you know, we all meant so much to her, and she, you know, meant so much to all of us. And I think that, you know, we're going to see her again, and we'll be with her again, and she's going to be watching over us, even though right now we'll talk about how mad she is. But I explained to Raina that, well, I told Raina that Ann had passed away. We sat down together and we watched this show, not a show, it was like a documentary thing, and explained how. Life is the same, right? For everything on earth, plants, fish, animals, people. There's a beginning, there's an end, and in between that is what's called a lifetime. And, you know, I know we all feel good knowing that we had an absolutely amazing lifetime. And touched all of us, and I love her, I love all of you, and thank you.
I think it's okay now. Somebody else?
I'll make an attempt at this. Huggy, Barbara, Jimmy, you folks probably don't realize that your mother learned how to change diapers. I was the guy. That's where she learned. My name is, for the people that don't know me, my name is Arthur Oxner. And Margaret Lombardi was my aunt. My drive out here, I had to go through Sudbury, which I've probably done most of my life. Visiting, we were city kids. We would make our trip out to Sudbury probably once or twice a month, as I recall. I don't have much recollection of my younger years. The thing I'll remember, the way she took care of my wife, my children, when I was in the military. Never forgot them. My wife's parents died at a very young age. And when I was out doing my thing in the military, leaving her alone, two young children, she would go to my aunt for advice. She never forgot us. We spent Christmases there in Sudbury. I've never seen a small home hold as many people. I've never seen a garage function as a party room. And it was really laid out nice, and we enjoyed it every year. I knew this day was coming. And I wondered if I was going to be able to get up and tell you folks how I feel and how I'll miss Margaret French, the body. I could probably go on and say some more. I get more composed as I get more comfortable up here. I wipe out the thought that she is gone, but we do have memories. And the memories are profound. She will always live in our hearts. There's no doubt in my mind. And at this point, she was 15 years older than me. And I can remember when I hit 40, she would tell me, "That's nothing. Wait till you hit 55. I would hit 55, "That's nothing. Wait till you hit 60. "Well, I hit 70. "That's nothing. What are you complaining about?" I always like to try to talk politics with her. And that was a dead end street. My wife is wishes that she could be here. She's in the nursing home. Last year and a half, or just about a year, but she's been out of the home going on 15 months. I tried to make arrangements to bring her down by ambulance service, but I didn't think she could handle it, so I let it go. In short, I could probably stand up here and go on, but I'll let this go. And the life cycle as it is, I have never met anybody that told me they get out of this alive. Our day is all coming, and she had a full life, full of life. May she rest in peace.
Is there anybody else?
Today, my dad told me that she passed. I present you. Two days later, I was awake till 11 o'clock, and I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about it too much. But my dad slept with me. My dad told me that today. My dad told me that she had her favorite magnet on her fridge. It said, "When I die, don't stand over my grave and cry. Think about the happy thoughts that we had together."
Anybody else?
That she was a wonderful mother-in-law. She accepted me as part of the family. She loved me as part of the family, as her daughter really felt that way. And we had a fun time going to Prince Edward Island for a week. That's all that time together, and that's a good memory. plus all the memories when we would go to Florida and spend time with them, because it was extended time to have with them, and just really appreciate them.
Alicia, I can get this to you.
I think I have some of the same stuff in memory that Chris does, and it just shows how consistent she was. I have a bunch listed here. I'm just going to read them. I'm not good about remembering everything. So, my memories of Nana, she'll always amaze me. I'll always remember how Nana was always so put together. Her clothes, her shoes, her purse, her hair. As a young kid and as I grew up, I always noticed that about her. I'll always remember how Nana had nice, long, beautiful nails. And they were always painted, and I always wanted nails like her. Nana always made me feel special, and she always said, I love you. One of Nana's love languages was giving gifts. She remembered everybody. She never missed a birthday. She sent cards, and she always called and sang with Papa. I will always remember how Nana was so respectful of my beliefs. Whether she believed or not, she cared enough to relate to me on my spiritual level. I will always remember the purple slippers in the closet for me when I was young that I could wear when I visited Nana and Papa. Nana was so selfless. She was always caring about other people. Nana and Papa's marriage was an example to me of love and devotion and sticking with each other for the long haul. I always wanted to be as tall as Nana. She was 5'8", and I was only 5'6", but as I got older, she would always say she was shrinking, and now I got what I wished for, to be as tall as her. I will always treasure that my kids got to know their great-grandmother, and she loved on them just as much as she loved on her grandchildren. Nana leaves a legacy of family first and loving through the thick and thin. Communicate, even if it seems mundane, and always remember to get together with each other. Put down your phones and computers and write a letter or a note. If you can, call instead of text. Make people a priority and keep up with the Red Sox. I know that Nana is looking down on us, loving that we're all together right now. That's what she loved. These are a few things that my kids remember of her. They're a little nervous to come up here. Diego remembers how Grand Nana always had a bowl of candy by her chair. Ana Sofia remembers how Grand Nana liked to squeeze their faces and kiss them. She also liked giving her Tootsie Rolls. Natalia says that Grand Nana always squeezed us when we hugged. Isabella said, I played with the bears at her house, and I really miss her. Carolina, although you won't have your own memories of Grand Nana, we will tell you how much Grand Nana loved babies, how much she loved you and your red hair, how she cherished each of her grandbabies and her great-grandbabies, and how special her list of hearts with the names were to show her legacy, even down to the tiny hearts to paint the names when her hands wouldn't do what she wanted anymore. And she insisted on painting her great-grandchildren and her great-great-grandson.
Are there any others? I don't want to cut it off, but I don't want anybody not to have the opportunity. Well, we are celebrating the life of somebody pretty wonderful, it sounds like, doesn't it? So let's thank the Lord for that. Let's close with just a word of prayer. And before we go to prayer, let me just make certain that you all understand you're invited downstairs for a light luncheon after the service. And there's going to be a postlude, Ave Maria. And just as we get into the Ave Maria, I'm going to excuse Nick and the immediate family, the daughters and Jim and their spouses, to go before us so they can meet us down there, okay? So why don't we just bow for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, We are so thankful to have shared Peggy's life in some measure and in some way. She touched so many people. The evidence of that has been stated here only in part this morning. We just pray that you would be near to Nick and the whole family that will miss her so very much. Your word says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And so we share their mourning. But Lord, might they all know that hope that has been provided by you marvelously in Jesus. The hope of a life which is everlasting, that is permanent, that will not change, that will not be worn by weariness or sin. A life in your presence, in glory with you, all because of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray all this even now, with thanksgiving. Amen.
We smile.